Well, definitely sounds like it's, we'll do a really quick sound check here while we get that sorted out. Definitely have your Bibles handy this morning. We will be turning to a few places and looking at some scriptures on the screen. But before we do so, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, just to continue in a state of seeking you, resting in you. Lord, to depend upon your faithfulness, by our faith, our trust. As our sister has already prayed, Lord. Father, you will show us today, if we're willing, more of you, more of what you're doing. A greater revelation, Father, of your plan and the work that only you can do through us. So let us come before you just eagerly, seeking not only the things you're doing, but Father, seeking you yourself. It's so easy for us to get that confused. Lord, in our inability and weakness, sometimes foolishness and rebellion, we just come to you in your faithfulness to draw us near, to keep us near, to speak, Lord, to open our understanding, to plant your word so deeply in us that it bears all of your fruit for your glory. I ask thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start just a little bit differently today. Let's go ahead and put a scripture on the screen, of course, quoting Jesus from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said to the disciples present, and it applies to all of us, this biblical fact. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Wow. Now, there's so many questions come up with everything Jesus says. It doesn't mean that we also don't respond by choice in faith to the Lord. But the fact is that the Lord made his choice first. And the emphasis today is for his stated purpose. And to keep it simple, as Jesus explains it, fruit. One word, fruit, with a multitude of meaning behind it. If we can, and we have gotten past the fact that he chose us, we responded in faith, there's a purpose, there's a mission, something that the Lord wants to accomplish, fruit. Now, today we will think deeply about that. And if you're looking for a title for today's teaching, well, here's an interesting word that's going to require some explanation. Reproduction. As we get into that in just a few moments in the Lord's Word, the Lord in his great faithfulness so provided an illustration this morning in a conversation with a brother that really gives us in practical terms a picture of the very thing that the Lord is explaining, the work that he wants to do through us. It should illustrate and also encourage. So if you're willing, brother, I'd like to ask you to come up here. So as Joe makes his way up here this morning, he was just sharing with me an encounter that happened with him at work, and we'll let our brother put it in his words.
Is this on?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Well, first I'd like to start off with, Melissa, your prayer of we don't walk by sight or feeling. And that like summed it right up right there. Because we really walk by faith. And sometimes we don't see God's work in our lives or feel it necessarily. However, I want to start out with a scripture in Matthew, and it's 5:14 through 16. This is the NIV. I prefer the NIV, but that's me. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, your light shines before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify," that's key, "your Father in heaven." So my experience this week was I got in an elevator. There was a woman from EVS, and we had just a quick discussion. Hi, small talk, no big deal. 2 days later, get on the elevator, and she says, hey, looks like we're meant to be with each other, and here we meet again. And I said, yes. And I says, I guess it's divine intervention. And she goes, do you believe in divine intervention? And I said, absolutely. So that led into the discussion with her. She goes, Joe, she says, are you a believer? And I said, yes, I am a believer in Christ. And she said, Joe, she said, hearing your voice and seeing you, she says, I could just feel the Spirit coming off of you. She says, and I just knew you were a believer. Praise the Lord. And then we had our discussion on where I went to church and how I was directed to this church. And it's interesting. She must live around here, and her husband works at that Mondelez food place right over here. But it was just nice to be able to be a witness. And like you said, Melissa, we don't walk by sight or feeling. Sometimes we don't realize the light that is being shined off of us, and that people can feel the presence of the Lord with us, even though we don't, but they can see it and feel it. And it was kind of funny because she goes, Joe, are you a pastor? I said, no, I'm not called to be a pastor. And I was telling Todd that, no, that's not my work. My work is more with individuals, more intimacy with individuals, not so much a group setting. But that was really encouraging to me, because when she said that, we were in the elevator, I could just feel the Spirit of the Lord anointing me with the Spirit just so full. It was like, Lord, I didn't even realize that your light was shining off of me. So sometimes we don't see it, we don't feel it, but He is there with us, and we are a witness if we're faithful to Him. So that's my story, and hopefully it's encouraging to each one of you as you develop your guys' relationship with the Lord, that He is going to use you to do His work. People can feel that. And like Todd is talking about, with kind of like a series here, with know, grow, and show. When we know the Lord, we grow, and then it's shown to others. So just an encouraged message that the Lord is always there with us, and that He is shining through us even though we don't realize it. That's all I got.
That's a lot. So as the Lord has kind of given the introduction, here we are in the book of Joshua, just to kind of recap and why we're talking about these things today. Well, the book of Joshua is the historical account of Israel taking possession of what God had already given them. And previously, decades earlier, through their failure of unbelief, they didn't realize it until the time they were prepared and they entered the land. Then many battles ensued. When they tried to fight them apart from the Lord, well, tragic failure. When they trusted in the Lord, they saw the Lord work through them to subdue all of the peoples under them, just as He said. And now we're in the portion, these latter chapters of the book, where the land is being apportioned. This tribe gets this part, and this tribe gets this area. And all of these things are, of course, examples to us, for the Lord tells us that. It's representative of Christians learning something about how the Lord's working in making real our possessions in Christ and the process that He takes us through. And the Lord has chosen these examples, and He's shown us so many ways how this applies to us directly. By the Lord's leading, we've taken now these last three Sundays to kind of put a recap and a summary on all of the book of Joshua for this purpose. Because in all that the Lord is going to do with us as a church today and every moment forward, and if we're careful to look back with Him, anything that He's done with us as a church really falls into the three words that represent the one category, what the Lord's doing. And those three words, again, to know, to grow, and to show. So we've talked about knowing the Lord, and it's helpful. You can't just take one of these to remember all of these. By knowing the Lord is more than just knowing about him. The demons know about the Lord. Satan knows about the Lord. Unbelievers know about the Lord. But for Christians, it's that intimate union, that communion, the oneness as Jesus prayed for us, that they, the disciples present and those who would believe in them, him, because of their word, that's us, would be one, become one as they, he. It's confusing, isn't it? As we are one, Jesus prayed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That kind of knowing, that kind of intimacy, inseparable in nature. That's who we are in Christ positionally, but as we grow in Christ, that becomes more real in our experience. And as it becomes more real in our experience, it becomes more obvious. You can't take, for the sake of just a ridiculous illustration, a chicken and turn it into a dog and be around that and not notice something is going on. Does that make sense? Not a chicken turning into a dog, that can't happen. I'm just saying if that were to happen, you would notice some real obvious things are happening. In the same way, and the difference between a dog and a chicken is far less than the difference between me and my unregenerate state and the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfected state. You can't take someone like me or like you and make me more like Jesus and people not see. It's just not possible. It's possible for people not to look, but for those who are looking, well, it's going to be very obvious. So today's big idea for you note takers, and I pray that you are always prepared to receive the things that the Lord gives and highlights to you, is simply this. Taking those three words, know, grow, and show, I'm going to go all mathematical on you here. My confidence in our elementary education that you remember some simple mathematical symbols, the equal sign, remember plus, minus, equal, right? Hopefully we all got that far. Well, if you take those three words, know, grow, and show, you insert the equal sign. To know the Lord equals growth in the Lord. And then growth, one more time, equals showing. Let me use another word that's a little more biblical. Represent or witnessing, hot topic in the church. We got to go out and we've got to witness. Well, yes, but no, actually. And we will be careful to explain what the Lord intends, because he does intend fruit. And he's given us this particular example as a reason. So I want to talk a little bit more about the Lord's process that he illustrates by first starting out with a common misconception in the church at large. And we are exposed to radio and teaching and all of this and practice, and you come to the Lord and then you're a brand new babe in Christ, and then hey, you take the 3-day or 3-week evangelism course, and then you get out there and you witness, and because Jesus said go therefore and make disciples, and he did, but he also said apart from me you can do nothing. Yeah, but he's always with us. Come on Lord, we're going to witness. And then, so then it's the tracts, and it's the invitations, and it's the, well, I planted a seed, and all these things that we say, but it's just so different than what we see in God's Word. It's so different from what we've seen in the book of Acts. It's so different from a church that is trusting in the Lord and the Lord working through them versus a church that says, well, if God's not going to do it, how would the world do this? And what are the world's methods? And if, well, getting a lot of people were the goal, you can do that. But saying all of that to ask this question, is that what Jesus means by fruit? And yes, praise God, reproduction is part of it. How does that work in God's economy, God's plan? This is such a wonderful and helpful time to be doing this teaching because of the time of year that we're in. things are just growing off the hook because of the heat and the humidity. For those of you who are gardeners or watch the plants in the gardens, you know things are just growing like nobody's business right now. So I just want to take us mentally to the illustration of a flower, right? A flower, you see that plant, is, and you can just look out in the yard, out the building when you go and you come in. There are flower plants that are just struggling, it seems, although they're not struggling. They're just bursting forth with vitality to do what? Produce flowers. Well, is that the Lord's ultimate purpose? It's part of his purpose. But if you'll allow me the illustration, say, if we were to liken ourselves as the individual flower, is that the goal? Just self-development, you know, be all that he is? That's part of it, but for what purpose? Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." And if we read further in John 15, Jesus said, "Much fruit, fruit that remains. God is glorified by this." Wow, okay. So I've taken to ask for that a lot, constantly. Lord, what do you mean? If I just ask, is it just going to happen? Well, it will happen through a process, and the Lord will take us through the process of understanding how he works. He seems to use plants as an example a lot. Let's go back to our flower. Those green flower plants right now are bursting forth to bring forth these beautiful blossoms, right? Full of color and scent. For what purpose? Reproduction. Right? That flower, that scent is to attract the bees and the hummingbirds and the butterflies and whatever else the Lord uses to pollinate them, to make them more fruitful, for there'll be reproduction. There will be seeds that will ultimately, and you might refer to John chapter 12, fall to the ground and die, as Jesus said. The seed goes into the ground and the seed ultimately goes away so that new life would spring forth. And then in God's economy or God's plan, everything reproduces after its kind. Dogs don't make chickens, right? Everything reproduces after its kind. A real growing, productive Christian will produce the same. A carnal Christian will produce the same. Back to the flower example in our own personal planting outside the building. If you look out there, we didn't plant any vegetables this year. And you might have noticed, but you got a couple of really vigorous tomato plants. True story. Didn't plant them. How did it happen? The plants from the previous year did what God designed them to do. They grew, they became fruitful. Some of that fruit fell to the ground. Hey, quick question. Tomato, fruit or vegetable? Fruit. Okay, I'm glad I asked because now we all know it's a fruit. It's seeds within it, right? The fruit containing the seed fell to the ground. Good soil, or good enough, apparently. And it's reproducing after its kind. Observe God's process. First off, there has to be the highest quality seed. And I think you're already thinking in Scripture, no, Jesus talked about seed, the parable of the sower. Yeah, it's the Word of God. It's got to fall into prepared soil. It's got to produce a plant. The plant has to become mature, an adult plant, fruitful. And within the fruit is the seed to reproduce more. So as we think about today, and I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but that's okay. Jesus does too. Well, think about this. This process that the Lord gives us, so evident in plants, is exactly what he takes us through when he's building his church. I'm going to start out with good seed, the Word of God, the gospel. I'm going to plant it into prepared soil. And that's, well, in a sense, that's us, the old man. And then, well, as it goes in, it's going to produce something new, new life. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. That plant then must grow in order to be fruitful. It must be fruitful in order to reproduce. So often in the worldly church today, and I don't believe that these aren't brothers and sisters or brothers and sisters with good intentions, but they're not being biblical. They're not observing what we're going to observe in the Word here in just a few minutes. No, God takes a person and brings them to maturity, and that maturity, that fruitfulness, reproduces like in others, and there's a witness. You know God, you're intimately connected with Him, you grow, He produces the fruit, and that's obvious. People say, wow, look at the tomatoes when it's that season. And then if they do what God intends, they will reproduce what the Lord intends them to do. Know equals grow equals show. Showing is all about reproducing. Have you ever been in that situation? It's like, wow, we want to see more people come to know the Lord. So does He. He told His disciples, go therefore and preach the gospel to every living creature. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. It works together. And He also said, you can't do this. I have to do it, and you abide in Me. As a branch abides in the vine. If you do, you'll produce much fruit. That's the knowing. So it just starts there. And the illustration that we started with, somebody didn't notice in our brother something of the Lord because he was planning his thing or living the life for himself or talking about the things of the world. There was some of the Lord's life, light, reality, evident in him. Now, how that impacts them, that's really the Lord's sovereign territory. We should count our fruit as just faithfulness, right? Abiding in Him. He produces it. And through that work, He produces in and through others the same thing that He's produced in us. You know, and we've said it before, the plants aren't out there just pushing real hard. I must make tomatoes. They're just doing what the Lord says to do. Good seed, right environment, over time, produces fruit. Period. So today's big idea, know equals grow equals show. Growth happens by abiding. This is why it's first. If we're not walking with the Lord, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're not going to reach maturity. You're not going to produce fruit. If we're not producing fruit, there will be no spiritual reproduction. Period. This is God's given example. Growth happens by abiding or knowing the Lord, that oneness, just staying focused with Him and walking in faith and humility. Fruit happens by growth. Reproduction happens by the fruit or the seed. The fruit contains the seed. If you've heard it now, you can think about it later. And as the more you think about it, the more you'll see the glory of God. But most importantly, how it represents the church that He's building. How a person who abides in the Lord so represents Him to others and has an impact. Now the impact, well, that goes different ways, but the purpose is just understanding. There's two ways of doing this. His way or some other way. And most of what we see in the church is some other way. With good intentions and a lot of effort and a lot of, well, artificial fruit. That plastic stuff that you see in Hobby Lobby. Looks great. Try and eat it, right? Not so good. Don't try and eat it if anybody was taking that too literally. So, today, show, right? That's the witnessing, if you will. God's witness through us. We need to see some examples in Scripture. So, let's start out with an example from our study this week. An Old Testament example as we make our way to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. And of course, if you were with us on Wednesday, you know where we're going. It's going to be the witness of one Caleb. In Joshua chapter 14, now the land's being apportioned. I'm just going to jump right to the reference for today. And if you haven't, please, please go back and prayerfully listen to the teaching from Wednesday so you get the full context of what the Lord has given us in this study. If you have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 14, let me direct your attention to verse 6, where we read, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Well, the theme today is witnessing. There's already two witnesses in view. One, well, the majority report, you know, the 10 of the 12. Yeah, good land, but we're looking at the reasons why we can't do it, not God. Then it caused a witness. It had an effect. It made the hearts of the people melt. Not a heart of strength and courage, but a heart of, oh no, it would have been better if we died in Egypt. Now, why? Oh, this is horrible. However, and there are many biblical recordings of their responses here. But witness one, please agree with me, bad witness. Not the witness that glorifies the Lord. Well, the other witness that produces fruit took a little bit more time. That was the quick witness, by the way. You know, 40 days, rely on your own understanding, and you can really affect a lot of people in the negative version. God's been working from eternity for eternity. He chose Caleb and Joshua before the foundations of the earth. He caused them to be born at the certain time. He trained them. You know, for a moment such as this, if you will, for a testimony. So when Caleb says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God," let's just plug that into our illustration, the knowing, that unbroken, abiding fellowship. God said, "I did." Did Caleb understand everything God was saying? I have no idea. I suspect not. I happen to know that Moses didn't, right? And Moses spoke face to face with the Lord, right? But nonetheless, Caleb followed wholly. The Lord my God gives clear evidence that Caleb knew his God. So let's go again to verse 9 where we read Caleb speaking. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Now, this is the historical account of Caleb, but it certainly applies to us. God makes a lot of promises that pertain to eternity. If you trust them, it's going to be to you just as God said. Came right out of Wednesday's teaching. Key component and evidence of the Lord's working in us. I don't necessarily know all of this, and that's true, but I know it's going to be just like God said. I'll learn more about it, and I'll trust and depend on and in Him, what He knows and His ability to make it happen. And it happens, well, rather instantaneously. Well, sure it does, right? Like the confused gardener who just doesn't get it. "I don't get it, man. I buy bird seed and I put it in the bird feeder and the next day I have birds. How come when I buy tomato seed and put it in the ground, the next day I don't have tomatoes?" Right? Because it takes time. And the Lord is working on a much different time frame. Now, Caleb bore fruit immediately. Fruit that was glorifying to God and his witness. Some, well, 45 years prior, along with Joshua. "Hey, this is a good land. We can take this because it's God who will be doing the work." Now, that wasn't received by the people, but nonetheless, God was glorified in that. So even as our early testimonies can be true and perhaps not received by the Lord, while there's evidence, doesn't mean the Lord is done with us. It certainly doesn't mean we should stop following the Lord. Caleb didn't. Joshua didn't, right? And these were the guys that were used by the Lord as part of his preparation to all of those people who would inherit the land. Something else here that Caleb tells us in this 14th chapter, specifically in the 10th verse, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said." Right? As he said, yeah, you read about it, Deuteronomy chapter 1. We've looked at it previously. Before a now older Caleb and Joshua entered the land, Moses restated that. He said, Caleb's going to inherit the land where his foot had already touched. Caleb and the other spies, they spent 40 days in Canaan walking around and spying out the land. And God said, Caleb's going to inherit it. Really, an 80-year-old dude at this? Yes. Oh, he's going to be older than that. And God's still not done with him, as we'll see. This is just contrary to the way the world thinks. And we must learn that it is to be contrary to the way we are going to think if we're going to know the Lord, if we're going to grow, if we're going to produce fruit and a greater witness in him. Let's continue on with the account. Here in verse 10, Caleb says, "Now behold, look." I mean, that's a witness, right? God said it. It's happening. This is time for Caleb to inherit. God said it previously. Caleb didn't doubt. He didn't turn away. I'll just keep at it until the Lord makes it happen. "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old." Oh, 85 years old. "Hey, why don't you young guys take over? I'm just going to go get a blanket and a nap," kind of thing. No, it's not how it reads, because it's not how it happened. "And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Meant to be an example for us. Now, wait a minute. I'm thinking about this. It's like, I'm not 85 yet, but already there's some things happening here, right? It doesn't seem like I'm as strong as I was when I was 23 or maybe even 40 like Caleb. Meant to be an example, right? And the Lord makes it very clear for us. The Lord preserved Caleb with everything in abundance that he needed for the purpose for which he called Caleb. Part of that was going into the land and going to war with giants. We'll see that in just a few moments. Now, for us, fortunately, it's not about going into the land and mountains. If it were, God will certainly sustain us. But the Lord tells us our battle, it's not a carnal, it's not a physical, it's a spiritual one. And your physical strength, you will have the physical strength and health that's needed to produce the fruit that the Lord wants in you, a mature person that's dependent on the Lord, not your physical strength. Perhaps it's part of the Lord's plan to keep you in perfect physical health, but I think you'd have a hard time demonstrating that from Scripture. For we have the verses that tell us, though the outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. Our memory verse, grow in the grace and the knowledge, right? Not in our ability, but in our dependence. When I am weak, then I am strong. Then he is strong through me. That's what can and should and will happen. That's what the example tells, as if we stay connected, abiding, knowing the Lord, will continue growing, Lord. Our fruitfulness will increase even to old age. You want to know how I know? You want to know how I know that you should know? Let me pose it as another question. Is there any way that that can be a true fact other than my good intentions? How about if God said so? Keep your finger here for a moment, or whatever you do to maintain your page. Go to the right, please. to the 92nd Psalm. In Psalm 92, and I think we're going to look at all of this psalm later, but for now I want to jump right to a precise portion. In Psalm 92, let's look at, well, verse 12. And remember, context of declaring the Lord and the way He works through people. It's the show part. This is the fruit or the result of our knowing God, growing in Him. Now comes the witness. And it doesn't stop. Actually, biblically, it should even be better as we age. In Psalm 92, verse 12, the Lord has recorded for us, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. There's the examples, right? All those vacation places that we like to go to, or some of us anyway, or think about, you know, some of them have palm trees. It's this really verdant scene by the, a palm tree producing, dates and coconuts and all of that. More so dates, I think, in that area of the world. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Again, these agricultural examples of vibrancy, strength, health, fruitfulness, growth, usefulness. What a testimony, right? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted, that means, you know, roots. That means connected. That means abiding. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Can I read it again for emphasis and clarification? They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. For what purpose? Well, to run ultra marathons and get into WWE cage matches. I don't know if WWE is a thing, but right? No. We're talking about our spiritual vitality, and for this purpose. Verse 15, to declare, declaration, right? A clear witness to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There's no unrighteousness in Him. So in the same way, as we make our way back to Joshua, the 14th chapter, what Caleb is telling everybody is clear evidence that God is faithful. He's the foundation or rock that Caleb put all of his trust on. And now, 85 years old, he has as much strength as he did previously for the purpose for which God has called him. That's what Caleb is saying. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. How contrary to the satanic, carnal leadership of the contemporary church, right? Well, I'd like to continue leading you, but you know, 65 on the calendar. I need to retire because, you know, I just can't do what God has called. And, you know, for them, that's true because it's all them and not the Lord. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't matter. And if should the Lord tarry, I don't think He's going to. But if He tarries and gives me more decades and, you know, they wheel me in, and as long as I can communicate the message as clearly as He wants it, that's it. That's the evidence. With the joy and with the peace. It doesn't matter what's going on in the flesh, because that's the purpose He's called all of us to be His ambassadors, His witnesses. Trials and problems, we're not struck down. We're not forsaken. We rejoice in these things. We glorify God in tribulations, His word tells us. Why? Because it's a better witness. There's a little bit of that that kind of leaks through, if you will, with Caleb. 85, the Lord has sustained me. I've got as much now as I did then for the purpose He's called me to. Well, let's see what Caleb wants to do with this. Right? Now, therefore, verse 12, Caleb's standing in line, if you will, before Joshua for his inheritance. What portion of the land am I going to get? Well, it's the portion that he already has been to. That's what God has said. And Caleb's in agreement. He says, now therefore to Joshua, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. Please take a mental note for next Sunday, if the Lord gives us another week. We're going to be talking about the Anakim and the giants and the significance and what the clear references for them means for us. Joshua's asking for this mountain where the Anakim were there, the giants, the people that discouraged everybody else. Tougher challenge. He's asking for the hard part, right? He's a man who knows his God. How the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. Now, please, notice this next clause. Caleb says, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Two things. First one, Caleb's attitude. It may be. He's not doubting the ability of the Lord. He's just keeping himself in a place of ultimate humility. The Lord, if he directs me someplace else, that's great too. Right? Oh, the Lord said this. I just got all my focus on this mountain and this is how it's going to be. It's like, well, wait a minute. No, I want to keep my focus on the Lord. The Lord can and does change things up, biblically speaking. Caleb seems to be aware of that. It may be. Maybe he sends me someplace. I don't care. As long as it's the Lord. What's that a function of? Well, in a word that we've introduced early on in our study in Joshua, God's grace. What Caleb is actually representing is everything that he has, he's receiving from the Lord, and he doesn't seem to want it any other way. If you have your handout, a few words about grace, you can refer to that. If you don't, listen to this part. Under the first Roman numeral, Roman numeral 1, the nature of grace, one brother said as he did a biblical description on grace, he said, number 6, the discovery by the creature, he's talking about people who realize, right, that God is being gracious or good to us. The discovery by the creature that he's truly the object of divine grace works the utmost humility. Think about it. It's a little bit easier in Caleb's situation. How many other 85-year-old dudes were ready to go take on the giants in the mountains? All on their own. Caleb knew this is God being faithful to his word that I trusted in. Right? And now it's just evident. He's done the no, and he's still doing the no. He's certainly done some growing all those years. And now, man, the harvest fruit is coming in. Right? So unlike anything the world's got to offer. This brother said, the discovery by the creature that he's truly the object of divine grace works the utmost humility. For the receiver of grace is brought to know his own absolute unworthiness and his complete inability to attain worthiness. Yet he finds himself blessed on another principle outside of himself. Right? That's knowing more about the Lord. That's growing in the Lord and producing yet more. For it's not me, it's God, greater witness. And the more you do that, the longer it goes and the more fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Behold the example God gives us. He said, these are examples. Well, it's got to happen now because time's almost up and I won't be worth anything at the end. Oh, reject that. That's not biblical. Old Testament example. We're still in the Old Testament examples. We'll get to some New Testament examples here in a moment. Let's get back to Caleb here as we finish up our Old Testament example. Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 12 again. Caleb, because I love it. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. And it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now let me make crystal clear biblically something I said. This isn't Caleb doubting the Lord. A person who knows the Lord and the grace of the Lord knows there's no maybes with God. If God said something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Caleb's not thinking, well, maybe the Lord's a little light on ability now. No, not the case. Give me this area, right? It may be. Oh, no. Keep your finger here. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 1, or listen to me read it if you prefer. A quick summary statement in the first chapter of Judges, chapter 1, verse 20. They gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. Not bad for an 85-year-old dude taking out three giants in the mountains. You get winded walking up the stairs here. What if there was a giant at the top waiting to take you out? Not a problem if God's sending you up, right? So the rest of it here in Joshua chapter 14. And Joshua blessed him. Oh, Caleb, this is great. It's even better now than it was that day 45 years ago when you and I were the only two and everybody hated us, wanted to kill us, right? Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. In parentheses, Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Right? When the fullness of God's plan is completed. Right? The testimony just keeps going there. So that's an Old Testament example. No, sticking close with the Lord, right? Abiding in Him, that intimate union equals grow. We don't grow in order to know the Lord. We grow as a result of knowing the Lord. And in the same way, with a new Christian, you don't have to go out and witness to grow in the Lord. You have to grow in the Lord because growth equals the show, the witness, the representation, and also the reproduction. Old Testament example in Joshua. How about New Testament examples? Have you ever noticed that in the New Testament, even though the same commands are often referred to in the contemporary church, you got to go preach the gospel, you got to go and make disciples. You know, they knew that too. Seems like they knew it better than us. That what you don't find is all the evangelism programs. What you do find is people waiting on the Lord, growing, and when it suits the Lord's purpose, the Lord sends them out. As Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to be sent out into the harvest. We studied that in more depth in the book of Acts. Right? And what you do find is people are just there with the Lord, that the witness, the show part just happens. We'll put these on the screen to make it a little bit easier. In the book of Romans, the church in Rome, Romans chapter 1, first one, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Should be in there. The Lord, through Paul, says to the church in Rome, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Excuse me? People trusting God. And people, those people trust God. Think back to the book of Acts. Right? I mean, the apostles and the disciples, we're taking some heat for it, right? What's with these? Oh, they've been with Jesus. That's how he works. So different from us. And again, in the book of Romans, we'll put it on the screen, please. Chapter 16, verse 9. Paul says again, Spirit of God says through Paul, for your obedience has become known to all. Wow. People notice when the Lord works through his people. Your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Good, that which is of God. Evil, that which is not. The world, the counterfeits. Right? This is the real deal. Not a one-off or an isolated incident. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we see this. The Lord says through Paul, For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia, but Achaia. Greater fruitfulness, right? From, well, the Lord through his people. But also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Now, please, don't get me wrong. We're not saying lifestyle evangelism that we don't use words. Of course we use words. But here's the thing. What if all we do is go with a message and present something to somebody else that they can't even see, right? And doesn't appear to be working in our life. Ever gone into a strange, by strange, I'm just mean a restaurant that you've not been into before and you're not familiar with the menu and maybe you're hungry and they're taking you to your table and it's like, what am I going to order? I don't know anything. And you look and it's like, that, I'll have what he's having. Well, so then he's a good waiter and says, give me that. He, no, he doesn't do that, right? But you can see the food and you've already been prepared. You're hungry. I want that. Excuse me, sir, I hate to interrupt you, but what was that on the menu? It's number 7. Thanks. Good, right? You go to Japan, or at least it used to be that way, and you go through the restaurants, they have the most artful reproductions of their dishes in wax or plastic. I don't know what they're using. Right? But it's just this, the whole thing with the label. So you're like, hey, I don't read, you know, it's like that. I want that. Same thing. Same thing. We don't even need to say anything. We're not saying you don't say anything, right? But there's the opportunity. What's the deal with you? You're 85 years old and you're whooping giants. No, no, it's not me. It's the Lord. You need to put your faith in the Lord. How about us? Hey, you don't have everything that I'm working so hard and I'm worried about, but you're not worried and you're well. What's the deal? What's your secret? It's not my secret. It's what the Lord says. And actually, this can be yours, but not apart from faith in Christ. Because it always comes back to Jesus if the Holy Spirit's at work. Because he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. He will glorify me. And actually, it's the Holy Spirit who brings forth the transformation. We don't do anything but abide. Back to the know. The know equals the grow equals the show. That's what's happening here. We do not need to say anything. He's not saying don't say anything, but it's like, people are seeing it in you guys. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. Ah, they weren't like that until you guys came and then you shared with them and now it's changed and fruit, reproduction. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We'll turn to this next one. Colossians chapter 1. We get to see a little bit more of the process here. In Colossians chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse number 3. The Spirit of God writing through Paul in his, the Lord's letter to the church in Colossae. In chapter 1, verse 3, we read, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why are they thanking God? Because they know where what they're about to describe is coming from. They know who is doing the work. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Evidence? Evidence of their faith? Well, the fruit. Fruit of the Spirit it is. Anybody know the first one? Love. Our brother was led to share that. New commandment Jesus gave. Not something we can do, but something he will do as we abide. Oh, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, think of the seed, if you will, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard. It's a continual and constant process in God's economy. Always continue to stay with him, knowing him in intimate union. Growth continues to happen. Fruit continues to reproduce. In the fruit comes reproduction, much fruit. Right? And We're just seeing it referred to here, which has come to you, verse 6, as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. There's that word, grace. They're not producing it, they're receiving it. The Lord is doing the production through them in both the growth of the individual and the fruitfulness of the individual and the addition. Remember the book of Acts? And the Lord added to daily to the church such as should be saved. What kind of church does he add them to? It's a very simple thing. If you think in natural terms, think of a parent looking for a good daycare for their children. I found one. You go there and the staff is all in diapers. Don't do that, right? No, you're looking for mature, capable people who know what's good and are able to... You get the point. What kind of church is the Lord going to add to? But if you're still a babe yourself, if you've discarded what the Lord says, you're left to your own things, your own devices. If the Lord's going to build the church, it's got to be his way. We've got to know, abide, continue to grow, and in the process of his time, that fruitfulness and the Lord's reproduction in us. So let's finish this out here in Colossians. Verse 6 again, which has come to you as it is also in all the world, is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, there's the reproduction, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. The evidence, which is the fruit, which is the means. It's this whole continuous cycle. So, let's recap. Let's get a memory verse. Let's stand together and praise the Lord here in a moment. Well, today's big idea is just the continuation of what the Lord is saying. Don't leave the book of Joshua without understanding what the Lord is doing, what the Lord wants to do, and if we're going to become the church that he wants us to be, only he can do it, and he's only going to do it one way. And it's about you and I and our individual, our daily, continuous and constant abiding walk with the Lord. Jesus did it perfectly. We don't, but we are to grow in that. All Christians have that capability. The more that we do that, knowing the abiding, the more growth happens as a result. The more we grow to maturity, the more fruit is produced. The more fruit is produced, the more seed, the more reproduction. All of it him. It's not us taking one or the other. It's about us staying connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by our efforts. It's by God's grace, which brings us, well, to the memory verse. You're going to hear a lot. There's great opportunity for self-study with the Lord here. We'll put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. You're going to recognize, oh, that's the closing. That's the benediction. Oh, please come away from that. It's God's word. And in that, it's infinite in depth and impact and ability to produce much fruit. The last recorded word to the church in Corinth, what a study that church is. This is what God wanted for them. It's what God wants for us. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace. You've got a hand up. You've got the big book on what grace is all about, right? But this is where it starts. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. Here, let me hold up that word communion, depending on your translation. The communion, the fellowship. The word is koinonia. That is the know part, the intimate, unbroken fellowship, the oneness with the Spirit of God. Think again about this. Jesus left, sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on a mission. He's going to take the things of Jesus and declare them to you, right? He's going to glorify Jesus, so he's going to be the one who administers the curriculum. He's going to be the one that does the work. Glorify him, honor the Lord, and manifest his presence. He's the one who causes the growth. 2 Corinthians 3:19, right? By one Spirit we're changed from glory to glory into the same image, even by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So that communion, we stay there with the Holy. How do you do that? You seek Him. You listen to Him. You take the seed that He gives you, the Word, and you got to do something with that Word. You've heard the example. Oh, I love fresh veggies, homegrown tomatoes. So I go down to the garden store and I buy a bunch of seeds and I put them in that drawer in the kitchen where all the other non-kitchen stuff go, and I just leave them there. And what do you have? You don't have tomatoes, right? They've got to get planted and they're seasoned and they've got to go through the whole process, and then you get the fruit. Same with the Word. Right? And the Lord makes it even more specific. Oh, I heard it. It was a good teaching today. Well, what did you take away? It was good. What did you take away? It's recorded. You can listen to it. What did you take away? This verse. God Himself pointed this at me. And I said, Lord, I'm looking to You. This has got to get in. It's got to find that good prepared soil and bring forth fruit. Your Word I hid in my heart that I may not sin against You. What's sin? Coming short of what God wants. What does God want? Intimate fellowship, growth, fruitfulness, reproduction. Why do you think He has us in the Word? Right? The communion, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Truly. Memory verse. Write it down. Get a tattoo. That would be a good use of a tattoo if the Lord says. Right? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a religious way to end the teaching. It's the reality of life and becoming the church that He wants us to be. So that's the memory verse. We did the recap. We have an opportunity to praise. I'm led to do one more thing. As we turn together one last time before we praise, let's go to Psalm 92 again, as I indicated we may earlier here. In the 92nd Psalm, please notice the title that some of your translations are using. In this translation, it's entitled this, a psalm, praise song, right? A song for the Sabbath day, right? Okay. Hey, Christian, first off, what? What does Sabbath mean? Rest. Okay. So for the Christians, when is the Sabbath day? Now, yes. Always, continually. That's the potential. That's the book of Joshua, right? That's what the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 4. If Joshua had given them rest, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Well, I want to rest. I'm struggling so hard. How do you rest? You cease from your works, even as the Lord. Stop trying to go out and make a tomato. Just take what the Lord has given you and let Him do it. You'll have tomatoes. It's the only way. All the time, Psalm 92 applies to us. So let's read it, and then we'll stand and praise Him. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night. That sounds like abiding to me. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. Oh, I guess you can use instruments to praise God. For You, Lord, have made me glad through whose work? For You, Lord, have made me glad through Your work. Anybody remember the memory verse that the Lord gave us for Wednesday? Want to say it? Psalm 119, second verse. Who seek Him with the whole heart. I was after the first part especially. Blessed, happy. This is what our Father wants for us. A good father wants happy kids. He's got a way to make it happen. Right? For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. Amen to that. A senseless man does not know. You know, the guy who hears but doesn't do, doesn't put his trust. Nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, we live in those days, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. For all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, my position of authority, your status in the Lord, right? You have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. Talks about that continual and renewing vitality in the Lord. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Think Caleb in the mountain and the Hanukkah. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Father, amen, and amen more than we can know now and will learn forever. You are good and do good, and you are good and gracious to us. Lord, may we take everything that your Spirit has taught and impressed upon us personally. Father, may we see more clearly to choose that which is good and reject that which is evil. Lord, we do desire because you have made it so, and you desire for us to become that which, well, you've created us and redeemed us and called us to yourself and reconciled us through the blood of your Son's sacrifice, according to your eternal purposes. Father, I'm grateful that we can sing praise because as we think about these things, thank you is what always comes up. And you've given us the opportunity. But before we do that, Lord, I would just simply ask, is there something in addition to the things you've already shown us that you would bring to our attention as a church at this time? For your word, Lord, we collectively just wait upon you.